You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Record. All right. Whoa. Woo. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Yeah, hold on. Let me turn Ben up. He needs to be turned up.
Turn me up.
Turn my headphones up. that yo, what the heck, man? Trying to censor myself as much as possible because I'm allegedly not supposed to be saying things that are inappropriate on this podcast. And now that it's a podcast and not a space. Oh my goodness. What are
Justin
we?
Justin Lewis, man.
Oh my God. Skinny Justin. He's back.
The braids are flawless.
Yeah.
And the vibes are just right.
We've started calling him Skinny Justin in my house because that's what my non-Marquette roommates noticed, that he's down like 20 pounds this year or whatever.
Yeah.
But oh my God, I don't even know where to start, man. Holy crap.
That NIL deal that he just got, you know, like it gave him that extra juice.
Yeah. Let's start as we should start all things with duck nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking
every good night begins with duck nachos.
Duck nachos. Duck nachos. Let's go. Unbelievable. So like really weird second half. So weird. Marquette didn't make a 2-point field goal until the Greg fast break layup.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was like 8 minutes left, I want to say. Maybe even later. Possibly earlier. I know it was after 10.
It's not like they were getting to the foul line a bunch either.
Well, yeah. God, they need to do that more. But also, it wasn't all that terrible. Like, there weren't, like, a bunch of egregious foul calls on Marquette. There was a couple of points where it was like, this is dumb, whatever. This is dumb, whatever. I didn't think it was.
Yeah, and also like that, the foul that Omax got on the dunk attempt when he got just buried in the ground and was bailed out by that foul call. Like, I know like there were some official complaints and obviously I don't think that they were like too great, but I don't think it affected the game that much to the point where had Marquette lost by one, I would have been like putting part of the reason for that on the refs or anything.
It was a lot of seniority fouls,
mm-hmm.
In my opinion. Like Cam and Stevie basically couldn't play in that game because anytime they moved, the refs were like, no, you're not allowed to do that. You haven't earned this. But oh my gosh. I mean, that's an unbelievable win. I just don't want that to get lost in anything. I don't imagine it will. Hi Seabass. Hello. Hello, friend. It's not gonna get lost, I don't think. It's you know, obviously that's never happened before. That's just.
When was the last time we won at Nova?
At Nova? I mean, we never won in that building.
Yeah, so, definitely not since the start of the new Big East, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's even Alan, before that.
Well, the reason that we haven't won at Nova at the
Hello, Alan. Really
specifically since the start of the new Big East is because only one team has won at the Finneran Pavilion since the start of the new Big East. That was Butler on February 22nd, 2017. That's the only Big East game they have lost in that building since the league reformed. They were 42-1 coming in, a .977 winning percentage. Mm. Better than Kansas at the Fog. Better than Duke and Cameron. Better than Kentucky at Rutgers.
Yes. Keep going. Keep going. Better than Rutgers at the Rack. Better than DePaul at the the sell to a bank arena. Unbelievable, man. I did not realize
it was that sort of record that Villanova had there. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Unbelievable, man. Oh my God. Alan first. Give me your best 30 seconds on what we just watched.
Amazing shooting performance. What really impressed me was how well Marquette was able to adapt to Nova shutting down Tyler Kolek's ability to drive and dish.
Yeah. Holy crap. Did they shut that down? Oh my God. I was like, the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh no, we're not going to be able to do the one thing I like watching us do. This sucks.
Took it away. And in addition to the shooting, and like you mentioned, the second half, pretty much all we did was make threes and a handful of twos. Defensively, we were so connected, and both in terms of team defense and one-on-one defense, that's one of the best performances I think I've ever seen from a Marquette team. And it, clearly you needed it. And then just the most clutch, nearly bobbled play into a Justin Lewis three to win it. Amazing.
Yeah, them denying the catch on the handoff was crazy.
Yes, I was so worried the minute they started denying that. I was like, oh, that never goes well for us.
Yeah, no, that always like kicks off somebody's foot and out of bounds, and then it just like falls straight into skinny Justin's lap, and he just rips it. Duck nachos, man.
Duck nachos.
Seabass, what do you got? No, where did Seabass go? He's so reliable. Oh.
I want to really quick interject that Cameron Jones has already tweeted.
Oh, good.
He quote tweeted someone saying, I like how Marquette matched up with Villanova, but Nova is undefeated at home and we haven't won there in over 9 years. And there's a journey retirement. And Cam quote tweeted that saying, see you in March.
Yes. Let's go. It's good. At least he could do something well tonight. So that's good. I'm glad he could send the victory cigar tweet in lieu of doing anything productive on the court. But I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Also, I forgot about that aspect. After the under 12 timeout, but Nova went on a 12-0 run shortly after one of the best players they've seen stroll through that campus gave a speech accepting a jersey retirement, and somehow Marquette pulled that off.
Yeah,
somehow, some way.
Yeah. All right, Seabass, 30 seconds. You were promised it. Take the ball. Draw up your best play.
Okay, so this game is one of those games that if Marquette would have lost this game, people would have made excuses about the refs. People would have made excuses about, late game execution. That last play was horrendous as far as execution goes. The one that Justin Lewis saved. And it would have been okay. There would have been excuses made, but at the end of the day, it would have been okay. Great game. Mm-hmm. We fought hard. We fought. And the difference between this team and last year's team and most of the Wojo teams is that we fight hard until the end and we don't give up. And it shows. And it defies it. And the defensive intensity is something that's been building. Like we're building something here. And it's just, it's such a relief and it's so satisfying to just feel the Marquette basketball program building something from literally from the ground up. New coach, new players, ground up.
Oh. Ground up, baby.
Ground up.
It's incredible, guys. Justin Lewis's shot. That one is going to go down in the record books. We're going to be watching that shot for a – it was a hard shot.
And it's this plus the tip-in against the Badgers last year. Like, dude comes through.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
This dude's
unbelievable. Okay, so we've got, 170 people in here right now, which is amazing. Love this energy. So I definitely want to let everyone talk. We're usually a little bit more of ball hogs on these things because we're kind of a podcast and we kind of have seven people that we rotate in and out on these spaces to talk that we rely on. But if you do want to say something, please request. absolutely want to just like keep the energy going here. This is a freaking beautiful night for the program. Unbelievable. There's like no words, and I'm going to keep trying to say words to describe it. So if you do want to talk, go on ahead. Just throw some people on really quick just so we can capitalize on how many freaking people are in here right now.
I want to do a quick KenPom update.
Oh, please. Can I guess? Where were
please.
We? Before? Were we like 50
before? I think 48 was what 40, we were.
40.
39.
Oh, my God. Let's go. Travis Smith, my college roommate, what is going on, my friend? How are you? How is the energy in the DC compound at the moment? The Marquette DC stronghold.
Marquette DC stronghold is good. Patrick, sitting here with Kevin right now.
Hey, Kev.
Wanted to quickly talk about NIL. You guys started. You guys debate on who the next Marquette athlete, probably basketball player, is, and what Third Street bar they're going to
pair with. Well, so. Can I suggest off the top of my head, the first thing that just jumped into my head is Tyler Kolick, Milwaukee Street Barber. that's pretty strong, I think. I like that. Justin Lewis and Duck Nachos is gonna be tough to, and I think you have to probably like play the gray area with Justin Lewis, because he's certainly not 21 years old, and that is certainly a bar. So if you were going to do like Buck Bradley's or something, I think you would have to like give that one Greg to Daryl Morsell or Greg Elliott.
Hey, could you explain that really quick, the Duck Nachos reference?
Oh, yes. Sorry. For anyone who didn't see my dumb Duck Nachos tweet like 7 times today. Travis, to our chat this morning, it was actually Travis who started the Duck Nachos craze.
Kevin.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Kevin. What is it? I don't even know. Uncle Buck's. I think it's so Uncle Buck's is after my Milwaukee time, but I assume it's one of the bars in the
I think it's on Third Street.
Yeah, yeah. So it's in that big thing, like right across from the arena, is how I interpreted it based on what I saw. And Justin Lewis has, I assume, a not extremely lucrative NIL deal with Uncle Bucks. I can't imagine Uncle Bucks is dropping the bag for Justin Lewis Instagram posts.
The cutest photo of a college.
Yeah. He's literally just holding a plate of what I assume are duck nachos. Yes, he's like, that's where I go to do my business.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean,
Matt, before you move on to people who have more, you know, insightful things to say,
there will be no one else, Kevin. Don't worry.
There are more people in this Twitter space that are listening to this that are probably at the DePaul game right now. It's on fire, and if you aren't watching it, I would say tune in, because number 20 is about to fall.
Well, is it at DePaul, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah,
so is the dude that always stands up courtside for DePaul standing up courtside and pumping up the crowd?
He might not even be there.
Okay, because there's a dude, and I don't know if anyone else has seen this, but there's a dude at every DePaul game. He looks like he's probably about 35 and just like lives for DePaul basketball, which is just like a horrible affliction I wouldn't wish on anyone.
There needs some duck nachos.
Yes, get some nachos in your life, bro. But no, he just stands up anytime there's like some momentum in the DePaul game. And again, precious little of that lately. And he just like fires up the crowd of like hundreds and hundreds, and or like the line from Arrested Development, where it's like, there are dozens of us. It's like, that's how you describe a crowd at DePaul. But yeah, oh my God. Wait, is DePaul, who's DePaul playing? Are they playing? Are they beating Xavier? Oh no, we're supposed to do that. Save some for us. Oh God, they're up 10. Gross. Good game. Thanks, guys. Great to hear from you. Always good.
Cheers.
Okay. I want to call out quickly that the head of the mothership, Anonymous Eagle, did say that it was a bad idea to get in a shooting contest with Villanova. And I am not one to be an old takes exposed guy, but somehow we lucked into winning a shooting contest against Villanova.
What a terrible take, Andy. Oh my God. how dare you suggest that we shouldn't shoot with Villanova? Like I can't believe you would say that. What a
and stumble thing. Into a couple random program defining wins.
What a dumb suggestion. How dare you? Villanova is historically a terrible shooting team. What are you talking about? Greg has unmuted fastest, so I will give the first question from the audience here to Greg. Greg, can you hear us? Maybe he might just be having issues. Hold on, let's see. Greg going once, or we go to Jake. Jake was able to unmute faster, so we'll go to Jake then instead.
On this, but I think we all know when we're double digit dogs and wearing the baby blues, there's only one thing you can do, and that's hammer Marquette.
Yes.
That, and then we're also all eagerly waiting, or at least I am, for the crack sidewalks, the wire tweet to let everyone know that we're backed up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Everyone,
you heard the man,
notified that we are certainly back up. Stringer Bell photo, terrible Photoshop incoming from our good friends at Crack Sidewalks. Love to see that. Thank you. Great contribution, Jake. Mr. Rogers next. Oh yeah, you have to unmute yourself. Go ahead.
First off, it's the Ric Flair. Woo!
Yes.
Woo!
Yes. They played that in the arena. I heard it in the arena, like, I think out of the under four timeout. And the thought that came through my head is Ric Flair is canceled, so maybe we shouldn't play that. And so that's a bad omen. So there we go. But
anyway.
Yeah, hey, keep going.
We're beating them
2017-2018
at home.
Yeah, it's tough to say, man. That one was so special for so many people for a lot of different reasons. I have a terrible story with that game where I got home about 10 minutes after tip from work and decided not to go. So that's a tough one for me personally. This one is more meaningful because that one didn't amount to crap, but was like a sick like moment to put on the highlight reels forever and that we will never forget, obviously. But, you know... The Andrew Rousey era at Marquette wasn't exactly a shining. Was still Andrew Rousey, right?
Yeah. Rousey had a couple big threes. That was also Marcus's first year. That one definitely seemed more like it was a great moment in time, and this is a lot more of a culmination of progressively better things that are going to lead into something more consistent.
Yeah. I mean, beating Villanova on the road, first of all, obviously hasn't been done before. We'll keep saying that. And until Allen, we'll keep saying that until Allen can tell us when the last time we did that was, because that'll be his job.
The last time we beat Villanova on the road was 2012. Buzz Williams did it. But
okay.
Was at the Wells Fargo,
right.
One thing I do want to say is I really don't want to take anything away from that 2017 win. I was at that game. That was one of the most amazing atmospheres, and walking out of there was absolutely cloud nine.
Yeah.
The unity of
the
fans that were there. You could hear as you left the building, "We are Marquette," echoing off the buildings downtown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could not agree more. And being able to storm the court against the number one ranked Villanova, that doesn't happen often in college basketball. It happens more often now, but being able to storm the court as an unranked team against the number one ranked team, beating them on your home court, and the comeback, we were down, I think, 18-plus points at one point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was at least like 13.
Comeback, it was 17 in the second half.
Okay, there you go.
17 in the second half. It's just... Hollywood couldn't write a better script.
Yeah.
And Then also, I saw Caden Reinhart in the elevator after the game. Campus Town East elevator, baby.
Yeah.
CTE.
Oh, I was a CTW guy.
It was great. It was just great to just say hi to him and give him my handshake and be like, dude, well done.
Anyways, you were like the shake my hand, sir. I just want to shake your hand on the plane. Like, you're like fighting everyone across the elevator. I just want to shake your hand. Oh God, yeah, Caden Reinhart. I've heard stories. What a guy. Great question though. I would say I care more about this one right now.
Like this one just happened.
This one just happened, and it's a 5-game winning streak. And now Matt Norlander can't write that we're not a tournament team at the moment.
Oh my God!
Literally, everyone else thinks we are.
What a crock of cow pit.
Sweep. That was, oh my God. I was just like, none of this is right. Yeah. Gotta go 3-3 in this stretch against all ranked teams to be considered a tournament team. It's like, if we do that, our metrics will be like in the 20s. Like tournament then.
Also, for as unrealistic as those expectations might've seemed, we're 1-0 now. So.
We're 2-0 now if we count the 7.
Oh, if you wrote before then yeah, we're 2-0. So
but go 1-6 or 2-7 and you're okay in the death march of 7, and we're already 2-0. We're a little ahead of schedule, I would say.
I honestly did, like, I did not think that we were going to win 2 games out of this stretch. I really did not think that, and here we are with just 2 incredible wins.
I mean, you can't think that you're ever going to win this game when there's literally no evidence to support that you would. I mean, it's impossible.
The other part about this is that this was mostly done without great contributions from 2 of the players who were big time reasons for this recent stretch, in Cam Jones and Olivia Maxson's Prosper. Like, neither of them had good games.
Well, I mean, only like Morcell and Lewis had good games. And Greg.
And Greg.
The second half.
Cousin Greg
was the entire offense. Cousin Greg. Yeah, it was he was a sturdy birdie from deep in the second half for sure. Trebby, please share. It's good to hear from you.
What the hell happened?
What's going on, man? This is so crazy. We have both of members of the Trebby household in the space. Shout out to two of Marquette journalism's finest representatives in the wild.
She's cringing in the bedroom right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Definitely one that likes attention, I would say, and likes recognition. Okay. Huge fan of it.
You watch this team, like, down the stretch. I don't want to turn this on into an anti-Wojo thing.
But please do. Oh my God!
Like, how tough were those guys down the stretch? So, you know, and again, it's, you know, some of those players from the past 5 years, like Marcus Howard, Seth Sakar, like all those guys, I'll think of very fondly. But let's work like a team like that, and it was so much fun to watch. I've been watching Marquette basketball my whole life, pretty much. And
yeah, Trebby, a true lifer.
Yeah, some of you might recognize my last name on this call.
Yes.
From a certain business school professor.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then Pat, I don't know, your life shift here into Marquette basketball personality at the age of like 27 is just really impressive. I wanna say that I know these are awesome after any game, but it's great that you guys do this after a win.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and I'll take the answer off.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
The answer is great.
Yeah, that was great. Ben, I think you're having some latency issues there, my guy. Not sure what to say about morphing into a personality in my mid-20s, but what can I earn? Mid-20s is a little generous at this point. I'm going to put Tom on, but yeah, I said a couple of times, like, Shaka's worth the price of admission, even if Shaka doesn't end up being sort of the next step for the program type coach, which I currently obviously think he will be, but didn't think so maybe like 3-4 weeks ago necessarily. But even if he's not the guy that sort of takes them to the level that we as fans want to see them at, it's worth the price of admission to play a certain way. Like just to have like a way that you play and a thing that you're going to make other teams beat you at is just something that we never really had at under Wojo. I would say like the identity of Wojo teams in any sort of positive way, like the negative identity would obviously be like blowing leads, alienating players, like that kind of thing. But like essentially trying to like turn Marcus into like a fiery inferno was the identity of all those teams. Like it was a good day when Marcus made 10 threes, and that was how Wojo's teams would beat you with their system because it would just be overwhelming you. But there's just so much actual basketball identity happening in these last five games, and it's just there's something you could see and a way this team plays, and just having that, like, screw all the future success, like just seeing that in front of you is just so valuable. Ben, unless you have anything to throw on to that, Tom, what do you have?
Yeah, hey guys, happy day.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh no.
So, just because I'm of the Great Alaskan Age.
Oh.
Some new names around the place, but okay, I got three ideas. Bar none, he's be Kerr.
Okay, good. These are your NIL ideas, for what it's worth.
Yes. Mojo, Milwaukee should be like Cam or Job, basically the entire freshman class. And finally, even though I know I mispronounced his name, Insomnia Cookies needs to be Morsel.
I don't know what that last thing. What is that last thing?
Insomnia Cookies.
Insomnia Cookies. Yes. Yeah. Oh, Morsel. Got it. Okay. It took me a second. I didn't quite hear what you said. I was like focusing on like whether you were mispronouncing Insomnia instead of his name. I totally get that's a yes. All of those are good suggestions. Thank you very much. That nailed it. Absolutely understood the assignment. Congratulations. Wow. What is this? A crossover episode? Brian Henry.
Oh man.
I believe a host of the Real Chili podcast. If I'm not mistaken.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
My head is absolutely spinning in 13 different directions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be brief on here cuz let other people get into it. I will say the comment that was made earlier, and by no means, we're not going down the bash Wojo thing at all. But I will ask.
But please do.
We all need to ponder this. Could you fathom this happening a year ago? And that,
no.
It's something you sit back and just go, God bless it. And then on top of it, how freaking pumped are you already for Sunday?
Oh. Played great against those guys last time. I want them again.
Exactly, and I want it back. And then the energy is there, and I will end it with this. The most exciting thing of all this is obviously people coming together and getting fired up.
Yeah.
Most importantly, show love on this freaking whatever the hell is space right now. The second leading scorer in Marquette basketball history, Jerome McNeil, is listening.
Oh, let's go.
And
yes, let's go.
We request a speaker. Oh,
yeah, I can. Let's go. Jarrell's tweets have been like between Jarrell's tweets and Wes apparently watching the Creighton film with the team. It's been a banner year for the Amigos getting the program back on track.
Give me all the class of 2009 Marquette Powell. Shout out for fellow class of 2009ers for the old people.
There you go. shout out one time for the old.
Thank you for doing this. This is great.
Of course.
What a great night.
Let's go. Yes. Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, for real, like Jarrell and Wes have been the two things I've seen from them this year have just been incredibly helpful. And just a great sign about like where the program is and Shaka. Although I don't know this for a fact, but like, I don't feel like Wojo did a terrible job of incorporating like, either ex-Marquette people or NBA players in the area. You always saw a bunch of people, especially like what would bring in the Duke guys to come train. Like when Jabari was on the Bucks, he would come a lot. So
I was thinking of the TBT team, every summer would always train at the Owl. And I feel like there would always be some incorporation with the team in some of those summer workouts or whatever.
Yeah.
Program was all that mattered. Wojo would have been able to stay at Marquette forever.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
It all happened to matter, though. So.
Well, if not getting suspended by the NCAA was all that mattered, Wojo would be in great. Because that's what administration reportedly liked about him for the longest time was he just wasn't like having his assistants get fired for giving rides to people inappropriately.
I like how he represented Marquette. He just didn't do enough on the court.
Shout out to Scott Monarch. Congratulations, Scott Monarch, wherever you are. Shout out. That one's for you. That is a real deep cut name. Ben doesn't even know that name.
Sadly, no. I really wish I did.
Yeah.
He still has Buzz Williams tire marks on his back, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Oddly enough, the first ever game that I watched as an official Marquette fan my senior year of high school was a loss to Villanova on the road.
Good.
So it's all come full circle for me. I do want to pose this question, potentially.
Please pose this question.
Even if we were to look at this with the most revisionist history of the coaches that just got hired this year, are there any you would want more than Shaka in terms of first year results, like Otzelberger, maybe
Tommy Floyd.
Oh yeah,
Tommy Lloyd. Sorry, not Tommy. Tommy Floyd. Tommy Lloyd.
I forget about him.
Him Tim Floyd. The was Tim Floyd at Marquette? No, it was Kevin O'Neill. Kevin O'Neill. USC. Yeah, getting my USC coaches confused.
How do you feel if you're Texas?
Oh. Mm.
On bracket matrix, obviously this will get updated after this game, but Marquette was on the 10th seed line and Texas was on the 7th seed line.
Okay, yeah. So I think at Texas you're okay, like you don't think
Mark is winning more than Chris Beard.
Shout out to Mark Adams. Mark Adams looks like he'd be your like family's personal accountant and he's shopping in the Big 12.
He looks like a fantastic neighbor.
Yeah, like he'd like keep his yard really neat.
Texas is just bad at hiring head coaches.
Well, Texas is just a freaking like cauldron of overreaction is Texas's problem. They just like don't there's so much pressure to be good in like ways that the teams have not previously reasonably achieved. Like Vince Young won one national championship. The
Barnes went to one Final Four in 2000.
Like there's not a track record of success, but also you have to achieve what that track record isn't. And it's just such a like over, there's so much pressure on these coaches to succeed. Like you can see how a guy like Shaka gets squeezed out. Obviously Shaka, he certainly a better fit at Marquette, but he also had like a very similar postseason track record to Wojo, right? I mean, he made like three NCAA tournaments and
didn't win.
So it's like, it's understandable why they kind of wanted him out from a success perspective, but thank you, Texas. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I know you always like my background noise, so I'm going to add this one for you tonight.
Go ahead. Oh. Is that a beer? Okay. Good. Yeah, I was gonna say, please be a beer. Yeah, if you need to make any like delayed left turns at any point, just feel free and unmute, and we'll that's a real ones in the space know that reference.
You gotta be here for every-
Yeah, there you go. I put a bunch of people on. Rob, you're not muted, but not talking. Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
First time, long time, obviously.
Yeah.
was looking at the KenPom numbers. This late in the season, we've gone 85 to, I think you said 39 right now. Has there been a team that's made that jump?
Alan, this is why we have you on the spaces.
They started lower than we are, and right now they're higher than we are. They were 27, I believe, when I was looking at it earlier today. But our jump has been impressive. What's really the most impressive thing about it is how fast it was. Because before the Providence game, we were in the 80s. I believe we were 85 or 86 coming into 85. And now we're, what, 39? That's a pretty good turnaround.
Yeah, I gotta see where we went in Torvik. Okay, we went up to 54. 54 is still a little low on us, I think. It's
oh yeah, that's so low.
You grabbed. At 61 possessions today, do you feel comfortable being that low? But with us also having stretches of like 8 minutes where we don't score, I don't know if I love it, but
they played exactly the type of game they had to play today. How about that?
Yeah. And if you look at Nova's losses, a lot of their losses, other than the UCLA game, which went to overtime, they were played at low possessions. Yeah. I believe they were at 60, 60, and 64 in the three losses they had. So you can't speed Nova up. They're too good.
Yeah, well, and they weren't going to be able to force turnovers at all anyway. Yeah. Like that. I mean, what did Villanova have, like 7 turnovers tonight or something dumb like that?
Yeah, they were able to take care of the ball really well.
Yeah, I know we had a steal at one point that it was like, this is Villanova's third turnover of the game. And it was just like, well, this is way too late for this to be the third turnover.
Right? Game. It was like watching paint dry. So I was surprised to see – I wasn't surprised to see it this low, but – that we would hang at this number, being that
yeah, correct. Yeah. And go ahead, Seabass.
The turnovers: 11 for Marquette, 10 for Villanova. According to the stats brought to you by ESPN.
Thank you.
I'm out of here. Thanks, guys.
That's a great mic drop. Like doing the tried and true. Like how would the Wojo team have done?
Yep,
I love that. Chris or Sean, you unmuted faster. Sorry, Chris, you lose.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? Sorry, Trev was on earlier. I actually played grade school basketball. Trevi, I just want to shout out, he was an incredible rebounder.
He's still on, Trevi. Attest to your youth basketball rebounding.
I had to put that out there first and foremost.
Put a Marquette jersey on him.
Yeah, we need him in the post.
We've obviously been talking about the Wojo comparisons, and the culture at Wojo was very one side and one guy dominant. I think it's really cool that there's two guys set the culture, and Kolick clearly sets the culture on offense. Like even tonight, he didn't have a great night, not a ton of assists, but like the extra pass culture clearly stems from him. Like every guy's making the extra pass, and on the defense end, Morsell setting the culture. Everyone's buying in on both sides, and having two guys on opposite ends setting the culture is so much more important than having one guy kind of dominating both sides. So that first, and second, I joined late, so I don't know if you guys have already talked about this, but did you talk about not fouling up three with 11 seconds
left? Oh no, we haven't.
Ooh, yes.
So they shot really quick.
They put the shot up with like 6 seconds left, I want to say. And
yep, they did.
And you can kind of tell like when someone's about to shoot. And so like, it was probably like with 8 or 7 seconds left, that's probably the last opportunity you have to like kind of grab out, and that would have definitely been too early. So I didn't have an issue with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you don't do that expecting them to miss, obviously, necessarily. My guess is Shaka wanted the foul with like five, and the shot came so quick. What'd you say, Alan?
I think Nova anticipated it. You saw how early they went. I think they took the shot with about 7 seconds on the clock. Tip out was about 2.5 left, because there was a little bit of time when, I mean, Gillespie had time to get to that ball down at the end of the court. They went pretty quick, and I don't think you would want to foul that early. And comparing it to the Creighton game, and I know that's, you know, far past Monday morning quarterbacking, but that was a lot less time on the clock, and with the dribble, you had a good opportunity to take it. This game, and when they put that shot up, it was obviously a three. The last thing you want to do is foul someone who was clearly shooting with that much time left.
I don't hate them shooting a three so early that you're going to have another chance at the other end. Like, if that goes in, and Marquette does have a timeout because they didn't take a timeout on the possession where they took the lead. And if that goes in, Marquette calls timeout, there's like 5.5 seconds left, probably, given when they shot. Yeah. So as far as, like, obviously you try to foul, I don't hate the, like, not fouling if you have like 5.5 seconds to take the lead at the end. What's the killer is if you just kind of try to play like a 30 seconds of defense type approach to the possession, and you only get like, you know, you get 3 seconds short of what you need, and then they chuck it in, which, right. Yeah. Right. But
the way it played out, it was pretty funny. The announcers called it out right before. They're like, we talked to Shaka yesterday, and he said he's going to foul on this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, and please, please always foul in that spot.
I'll hang up and listen, but there's a good chance that we're going to play another top 20 team coming off a DePaul loss.
Yeah, somehow I don't think that that's going to work as well as it did for us last time, but...
Yeah.
Paying attention, but Xavier just tied it.
Yes!
I was just about to say
Xavier. DePauling. There's too much DePaul lately. Come on, Xavier.
You want Xavier to win, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, totally. And
come Sunday, they'll feel like they, you know, got over a tough victory
Seton Hall's not good. Seton Hall is capable of losing four in a row. Xavier is actually well coached and really sharp and talented. So I'm not sure they're capable of losing multiple in a row like that they shouldn't. But I don't know. Let's see. I hope they hold on or take the lead at some point. I guess they haven't really had the lead. DePaul's not terrible though. Although it doesn't look like they have Freeman Liberty playing. Oh my God. There'd be Freeman Liberty. That's oh my God. Who is this dude? Is this the dude that didn't play against Marquette? David? No, he played against Marquette. David Jones has 26 points and is 10 of 18 from the field.
Boy,
so,
Jones is the key to beating DePaul. If you look at this, seriously, if you go and look at his offensive rating,
yeah,
is
inverse.
Is over 100, they're pretty much going to win. If he's under 100, they're going to lose.
Ugh. Who's the guy that didn't play against Marquette, Allen?
On Genda.
Okay. Yeah, he's having a good game. Yeah, because I just generally think anytime a big guy doesn't play against Marquette, then that's a huge break for Marquette that they might not play nearly as well if the team's missing a big guy. And Marquette, as I've said a couple of different times over the last couple of weeks, Marquette has had really good this player is out luck this season. Like absurdly good. Like there's been one player missing, so it's like not super noticeable, but like AJ Reeves not being in the Providence game, Kofi not being in the Illinois game, like they're the one dude that's getting taken out, so it's like not totally clear and noticeable that the team is shorthanded, is just
no one was normally in but out today for Nova, right?
Who?
No, like no one for Nova.
No, was... correct. This is just a fever dream. This one doesn't exist in reality or like like construct of things. This one is just like it's all gravy baby type thing. we're rolling on this one.
Does
Do you want to know who's in first place in the Big East now by win percentage? I know the schedule
by win percentage
are kind of wonky, but
are you going to like give me a weird COVID thing? Like, is it Seton Hall?
Probably. No, it's Providence.
Gross frauds.
Providence is 4-1.
They're not good. I don't know how they're 4-1. They're not good. Yes, good. All right, good update. I will continue to progressively check this as we go forward.
Oh, DePaul tied it. I don't know if we're doing this without the express written consent.
Yeah, are we
just doing play by play now?
Yeah, this is actually like just Kevin a DePaul debut.
He was calling the Patriots Dolphins game in addition to the Chargers Chiefs game.
Yes, sure, blue, correct.
Blue.
That's a live. I mean, I'm sure that's what's happening, like live in the game. That's probably very descriptive.
From what's the DePaul head coach's
name?
Oh God,
Tony Stubblefield.
Tony Stubblefield, yeah. Not Dave Latow, as I like to call him. Yeah. Joe, do you have something, or are you just like?
No, I do have a fun story. I want to share with you guys.
Tell it, please.
You guys brought up the 2017 game a little while ago. There's a story from that's relative. That's relevant to tonight.
Sure.
So during that 2017 upset, I had to work that night, so I had to record the game. Mm-hmm. So I watched it much later than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I told this story on our podcast with Phil, but Phil and I had this agreement. We call it the Tony when we're not listening to the game.
Sure.
Shut off all our devices and like it's a way of telling people, you know,
yeah.
Text me, don't at me on Twitter, no notifications, I'll watch it later. So, obviously, I watched that game way later than everyone else did, and like 2 hours after it was over. That's when I hopped on Twitter. You know, and I'm watching the game as it's going along, because Phil and I also have this agreement in the cone of silence that if it's terrible and if it's awful, just text me and let me know so I don't stay up late watching anything. Yeah. And, you know.
And you were like, where is the text? We're down a million.
I'm like, no one's texting me yet. This might be pretty well. And then they won, and I just went crazy on Twitter. So tonight, Phil's son had a basketball game.
Oh, no. Phil hasn't watched?
Phil just hopped on Twitter.
Yes, Phil!
Join us, Phil.
What happened in the game?
Phil, we won. We did it. that's great. Oh, that's perfect timing. Oh, my God.
It's like watching a baby be born.
Phil, we did it. Great. Yeah, that wasn't someone dying. That was Phil. Oh man, this is great. A live reaction 2 hours later.
Oh my God, Justin Lewis.
Oh, right. Oh, onions, stones. Oh, he's a ballerina out there. He's like Devontae Gardner and Jamil Wilson's body.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we can still call them a young team, but they are growing up right before our eyes, and they're way ahead of schedule of where we thought they would be. You know, I'm ready to shift from I hope they can make the tournament to
yeah,
I believe they're making the tournament.
I mean, they're making the tournament. I mean, they come on. Like
this is about
bad would they have to play?
I mean, bad as those two Wojo teams played in February the last 2 years.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that. Well, I don't know. There's still like, what, 12 games?
That's where I'm at.
There's still like 12 games, right?
We're way ahead of schedule, so it's a credit to the players and the coaching staff. And, yeah, I mean, you guys have said it all about as far as analysis from the game. But
yeah, I that sounded like Jay Wright. Like, I'm sure Jay Wright said, like, credit to Shaka Smart. Like, he's and his guys, like, really competed out there today. I'm sure that was the standard line. Jay Wright, what a charmed life that man has. He never has to give a losing press conference at home.
Shaka Smart in the last 2 years won at Frog Allen and won at Finneran Pavilion. Neither Bill Self nor Jay Wright can say the same, and they've both played at both of those venues.
Wait, I'm confused about the last part.
Bill Self hasn't won at Villanova. It is
Oh.
Villanova just will.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. All right.
Small sample size theater.
Wow, that was – I was like, what? Like, are you saying they haven't won at home?
I also think Jay Wright has played in Allen Fieldhouse a total of one time, maybe. But the point still stands. It is very hard to win at both of those places.
Kansas has only lost 5 games at the Fog since the Big East Reformation. That was what I used as my reference.
Hell yes. Love that stat. Very, very normal stat.
No one has beat them twice at the Fog. Shock is one of 5 coaches to win at the Fog since Villanova had their dominant streak in the veteran.
It was great when Kansas had never lost a Big 12 title and Bill Self was like really never losing at home because they were
President
like 13, Kansas Forest Bill Self had more Big 12 championships than home losses.
Tell us about the good old days of Kansas basketball, Ben. Please open it.
Oh man, we do not want to turn this into a 2018 Twitter space right now because will happen.
Tell me about 12-year-old Ben watching Sharon Collins.
Oh my God, my chunky king.
That's good. That's good. That's all we needed there. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Okay, Chris has been sitting here for a while and just being a very good citizen on mute. If you would like to unmute and share.
Yeah, no worries at all. I've been loving all of this. So I just kind of want to talk about Quest tonight, and then not necessarily Oso tonight, but Oso in the past, and how Shaka's kind of had his finger on the pulse of who's been the bigger big guy tonight, and you have nights where Oso is tearing it up and he's just right to Oso, and then you have nights where Quest just is a monster down below. And very different big guys, but this might be the best big guy pairing we've had since Otule Gardner, in my opinion.
Well, it's a very unselfish rotation, right? So it's like Kerr is obviously the tenured player, but Kerr has also never really been a established big minutes college basketball player. Like, his track record at Oklahoma is like a start and not really return type guy. And so, he's getting this opportunity. So I think it's a great sort of meet in the middle of the egos where he's getting like his biggest opportunity and is an experienced player and can bring his veteran leadership to the role, but he's also not totally built into 25 minutes every game as a result of sort of where he's come from as a player. And Oso is a player that's growing and has such a high ceiling, and we're seeing it more and more, but isn't always required to get a lot of minutes because he has up and down games. And so it's just a really good harmony of those two perspectives is what I would say, in terms of like which one is sort of rising, but like not always playing well. And then you can throw Kerr out there in a big game. And obviously Kerr's block with about 45 seconds left on Gillespie, who shot it, or was it Moore? I don't
know. It was Gillespie or Moore.
It was a quick pop.
That was an incredible block.
I think it was Gillespie because I think he was doing the thing where he has been trying to post up Kolick every possession. Kolick, did a great job on Gillespie, who did not have a good game by any stretch.
He kind of sucked. And
nobody really played well for Nova. Dixon.
The other part was that it really didn't seem, because Nova is one of those shockingly good offensive rebounding teams, but they were kind of middling tonight, and I definitely noticed there was a lot more of Quest not necessarily just jumping for the ball with his hands up, but like really putting a body on the most likely Villanova guy to be going for the ball. And he didn't get a whole lot of rebounds himself, but he created a lot of opportunities for other people to get easy rebounds.
It seemed like there was a lot less throwing dudes at offensive rebounds, which is a really good way to beat Marquette.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how many defensive rebounds Marquette had where there was just like nobody anywhere near it for Villanova. Because it seems like that would have been a great, like, because they had the scouting report on what to do on defense down to a science. It was sit in that zone and make them shoot threes and don't let them do the PNR crap that they do with Kolick. And that was perfectly executed to a T from Villanova on that end. So I was a bit surprised to see them not do the throw people at offensive rebounds thing that like every other Big East team has done to Marquette to really unsettle them and attack their biggest weakness.
Yeah. Okay.
Seabass, go.
Back on Gillespie really quick. 10 yeah. points, 8 rebounds, 1 of 6 from 3-point range.
How many assists did he have?
Assists. A stat that matters as well.
thank you for vamping there. That was good. Four assists. Okay, so he played okay. But yeah, obviously.
Also, DePaul lost.
Yeah! Let's go, Xavier.
They had a wide open shot to win it, but the camera, basically there was a hand right in front of the camera completely blocking the basket. So you couldn't see until you saw the ball on the ground.
Good. Very good. Jalen Terry missed 3-point jumper is what I'm saying.
What I really thought helped rebounding-wise tonight was how much our guards got involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you repeatedly saw Kolick pulling down rebounds.
Yep.
Marcel got to a number of rebounds.
Yep.
And that's the problem that this team has had is not doing team rebounding. And while, you know, Nova isn't necessarily a UConn or a Xavier, they're a pretty good offensive rebounding team. So that was a huge part of it, having the entire team get involved and take that away from them.
Marcel had 6, Kolick had 5, and Lewis had 7 and was sort of the primary sort of hybrid guy where they would send him sometimes, but he would also just be kind of the guy that was there. Yeah, interesting line for Tyler Kolick tonight with the 3 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. That is Tyler Kolick.
That is a very Tyler Kolick stat line.
Yeah, in 36 minutes.
Have you seen him blowing a kiss to the Villanova fans yet?
Oh, is that a thing?
There's a screen grab that I saw that somebody posted. And while
I just opened up my DMs and it's in there. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
I haven't seen it yet. Please share it.
I'll tweet it. Hold on.
I think Sebastian was trying to say this earlier, but he was trying to hunt Kolick all second half.
Mm-hmm.
Kolick was bodying him up and not letting him get into the lane. He did a great job of him.
Yeah, he did. I agree. He like
just replaced Rousey as kind of like that little smack talking dude who all the opposing teams hate. But if he's on your team,
and he tries on defense, which is a huge upgrade over Andrew Rousey. No offense, no.
I actually did watch the highlights of the 2017 game, and there were multiple times where I noticed Rousey just standing in space with his hands on his side, and I thought, you know, it all wasn't super rosy with him.
You know what? He's the best sort of attitude guy that Marquette's had, and I'm infinitely grateful for him being sort of the swagger guy that he was. But obviously, it was just a very poor convergence that he and Marcus Howard had to overlap, because you genuinely first 2 years Marcus Howard and Andrew Rousey could not coexist defensively and really did a number of unfortunate things to what Marquette was trying to do.
If my memory serves me correctly, they also only had 2 games in their entire careers together at Marquette where they both scored 20 plus points in the game.
It was just unfortunate because those are 2 guys you wouldn't trade for anything, but like having both of them was just a really tough mix.
Part of the thing Tyler's got going for him with his haircut, he reminds me of Todd from Wedding Crashers.
Oh god, that's a deep
wow cut. I love that.
I thought you were about to say Todd from Scrubs. who is the
no, that's
when at Nova 5.
Yeah.
No. Nice, every assist, you can say it was a gift, Todd.
Exactly. Jesus. Okay, we're really digging deep here. Let's throw the last 2 people in the request queue on here. We've got Michael and Liam. Liam. We'll start with Liam. Liam, tell me what you need to say and tell me it's going to be able to go on this podcast that we're recording.
I love it already.
I'm a little concerned. I looked at Liam's bio. It's not what you want to see at this time of night, but we'll see how it goes.
What's up, guys? How's it How's it going?
Yeah, how's it going? What you got?
Well, thanks for letting me on the space, of mm-hmm. course. And, you know, as you, I'm sure you checked out the bio, I am a fan of Villanova, everybody. I'm probably sure I'm surrounded by hundreds of Golden Eagle fans right now, but totally, you know, unbiased, just big, you know, college basketball, you know, great pro college basketball, obviously. You've really gotten back into it over the past, like, year and a half, so. Great win for you guys.
Thank you.
I think that the balls on Justin Lewis are insane. Obviously, mm-hmm. to kind of pick up that ball back off the ground after a broken possession was huge. I think for a young kid like that, it definitely, you know, mounts him in a good place for his progression and confidence. Because I think, you know, a couple of the Marquette games that I've watched over the year, or, you know, over the season so far, I think one of the big things for him is that the cold nights are cold and the hot nights are pretty hot. And when he gets rolling, I think that, you know, the rest of the team can sort of feed off of his great energy. I think he, you know, he yeah. has the ability to go in the post and outside. And, you know, credit to Shaka's game planning, but I also think that obviously the Villanova defense had a very, very poor scouting report. The amount of Elliott transition threes, and I tweeted about this before the game, I was just so worried about Greg Elliott. The same
way scouting report buster Greg, it makes me so happy. yeah, but, go ahead.
It's the exact same thing that, you know, I criticized Villanova's defense on Nate Johnson from Xavier. And thing happened in the first half where they lit up Nova from three. Obviously, they went cold in the rest of that game, but I'm just, you know, the interior defense and the passing lane defense has been a much improved from Villanova, but I think that what Marquette has, what you guys have is such a dynamic way of, you know, even when the pace is slow, just, you know, I'll admit, I think the pace was slowed down to Villanova's favor for a majority of this game, but the true couple moments where, you know, you had those easy transition looks where, you know, Cole is incredible, you know, how slow the game could be going. And then instantly, the second that there's a transition opportunity, a long rebound, there's three guys already down the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the inability for Nova to pick up on those three-pointers was huge. Obviously, 39 points off of three-pointers, that's...
I genuinely guarantee you that that's probably the most that they've had this season, because do not watch the 39 points off threes tonight and be like, oh wow, this is Marquette basketball. This is very interesting.
That's the crazy thing. You know, watching, going back to the Providence game, obviously, you know, it was a scorching, but there was so much more post presence in that game.
Yeah.
And I know that's what you sort of have that with the big guys, and the length of Quet and of Osu Igodaro and Maxim Prosper is overwhelming. I thought that was going to be the big issue for Dylan, that I thought the length was going to be smothering. And it was at times.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this out after the game too. Like, you know, I knew that the length was going to be a problem, but I don't think Villanova attacked it enough to be able to try and, you know, there were three, Marquette had three blocks. I expected there to be at least seven. I'm very surprised by that, but you know, I'll sort of wrap up what I'm talking about right now and just say that, yeah, the 3-point shooting obviously was key to the victory. I mean, it was a 57-54 game. You gotta make your threes. Marquette did it, Villanova didn't, but again, all credit to you guys.
Which again, huge surprise.
A very big surprise. And you know, I don't know how many of you guys were at the game, but also, a huge credit to Shaka Smart, too, just to briefly touch on his coaching. Villanova, I'm sure you guys picked up on.
No.
Villanova to Texas last year and beat Texas all the way at the end. But that Texas team for him had an insane amount of NBA talent. You had Ty Jones and
Rick
LaForce and Jericho Sims. I think his transformation, and you know, when you have the Rothsteinism, the reincarnation, I think it's it really is true to his word. I think that he has his youth and his vibrance and his energy can really ignite that team. And I guess my closing remark would be, I don't know how the auditory it was from the TV. But at one point, I'm sure you've gotten this many a times on the road, but you know, there was a Villanova student section chant, you know, Shaka Stupid. And
oh, that's so clever.
Shaka Stupid.
Very, very ingenuous.
Like the opposite of smart.
He looked over at the scores table and he's talking to this woman at the scores table. And, you know, for a young coach like that, you know, you'd expect generally a bend and break effect, you know, mm-hmm. when Villanova gets up 9, student section getting into it, rowdy crowd, everyone's on their feet. I'm very impressed by him not breaking. And then but it shouldn't surprise you, right? He's a Final Four coach. He's gone to the Final Four before.
Yeah. Well, also, sneaky old. Like, he's been a head coach for like 15 years now. And
he's experienced.
Yeah, is like 45.
Yeah. And the appearance is something, obviously, that's, you know, it's the deceiving part.
Are you not intimidated as an opposing fan by the sleeves under the polo look? I mean, that's the most. It's got to be the most intimidating looking college basketball going.
I gotta say, I don't know. You guys must put up with it much better. I can't escape Villanova Twitter without at least 12, a dozen tweets after every game, win or loss, talking about Jay right now wearing his suit again. So yeah. You know, at least you guys are a little bit more tame with the There was two fans in the nosebleeds that would continuously come down at all the timeouts and hold signs that were. You know, 60 plus year old women, and they were holding signs, you know, begging Jay Wright to wear a suit. So,
Okay, that's a strange Villanova culture thing that we will let you guys sort of revel in.
Yeah, you can leave that up to us, but yeah, whether it's, you know, long sleeves and a polo, or you know, the floor slapping, or you know. Quite literally, you know, you can confuse him for a player sometimes, the amount of energy and
yeah,
the amount of
for sure.
intensity. So,
well, we appreciate the perspective from the opposition here. And, you know, we don't probably need to tell you anything positive about Villanova's program. I think there's enough self-evident things there. But thanks for hopping on, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have come across this. I don't think there's anybody that I know who's in here, but. For whatever reason, it popped up on my Twitter feed, and I just, you know.
If we got you in Villanova Twitter, if you got us into Villanova Twitter somehow, we appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Trust me, not the best thing, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, trust me, we're not that great either.
The Big East is a rough place, but
yeah.
Tread carefully with that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah. I appreciate having
you on. Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Michael, go ahead. You've been waiting. Patiently, and then we might wrap up after this.
Cool. Hey guys, how's it going? Class 2015 checking in here.
Oh, same. Shout out.
I just wanted to, you guys kind of touched on a lot of my points, so I'll make it quick, but I think the biggest thing I wanted to talk about was kind of Shaka's first half game plan. And, you know, we actually made such a conceited emphasis on rebounding. Mm-hmm. Sitting there going, oh crap, we're actually in this game, and we're keeping it close, and we're hitting some big shots, and then you go into halftime and you go, we made a good run, but you know, this is Jay Wright. This is Nova. They're gonna slowly pummel us, right? We're keeping it into
a Fortune 500 company.
Exactly. and we start picking up these ticky tack fouls, and then they're almost in the one line. You go up, and this is how it goes down. And then Marquette just starts taking punches, and then Greg hits a three, and we're back in it. And then Gillespie comes down and hits that. And one, and you're like, damn it, this is the same Marquette. We're gonna do it again.
Well, especially after the turnover, that was
cool.
With the transition where Elliott threw the ball right at Quid's legs, and you're just going, oh, this is it, this is how we go down.
Greg, who's rapping Meek Mill out of the timeout, like
that was like extremely
loudly. Gets the steal and then is just feeling himself so hard that he throws a rocket bounce pass at Kerr's ankles. Like such a heat check pass.
Here, go grab it.
It was killing me, dude. I would finally slip off the couch, and that's the one that makes you put your hands, and you go, oh, come on, Greg, what are you doing? But there was just so many moments. Like, I think the thing we have to remember is you're not going to play a perfect game against Nova, no matter what you do.
Yep.
So we could sit here and say, hey, Marquette shot two free throws all game, and those two free throws are kind of lucky when Omax got fouled at the rim. But sometimes you hit those contested threes and the ball falls the right way. But it's one of those things that it took me about a solid half hour, an hour for my blood pressure to go back down to a normal
for sure.
level after the game. So it's a great Marquette win, and it feels good for the program to just get you excited again, right? There were so many games. I think you guys kind of said it before. You know, you wouldn't trade the Marcus Howard years for anything, but some of those games were a slog, and they were just, oh, I can't watch this team. And now, like you guys said, I'm counting down the minutes until Sunday for the next game to start. So I'll hang up, but thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Next Sunday also is going to be the first home game with students back on campus. So,
which game?
Add to that, the Sunday game against Xavier. The mothership tweeted that out.
Oh, is the Xavier game on Sunday this weekend?
Yeah, Sunday at 1.
Sunday at 1? It's definitely during a football game, isn't it?
It's not during the Chiefs game, so good for me.
That's the point. All right, well, I'll have to second screen it. That's not during the Packers game, is it? Or is the Packers game Saturday?
Packers game is Saturday night.
Ugh, that's such a good break for the Packers. How did they get the Saturday after us? Anyway.
Here's is that too. The LA Rams against the Bucks is that too.
Okay, so not a huge conflict there.
Yeah, so I'm not one.
Backing Tom Brady in that one. Crack Sidewalks, folks, any last words before we wrap this up? You guys are welcome to lob anything you may not have heard or give us a good little ending point here.
No, man, you guys covered it. I mean, this was a blast. This was like number one, but like this is an all-timer, like hashtag MUBB Twitter night.
Oh, God. Dude, are we making memories here? Oh, my God.
Core memories.
This win will travel.
Oh.
You talk about resume, winning at Villanova. Right now, they're number three in the net.
Find me a better win. Find me a better win. Such a good win. Oh, yeah, probably.
Apologies. But
yeah, it's fine.
One of the five best wins you can get.
Yeah. There you go. Good spin.
You're dancing.
Yeah, and we are.
I love it when he talks bracket to me.
Shoes, boys, polish your shoes.
Oh, yes.
Today, we're dancing, fellas.
Yeah, like, come on, Matt Norlander. Tweet that Marquette is dancing, please. Answer, respond to the critics. get your head out of your ass and figure it out. Read the room. Oh, good. I'm glad. That's nice. I'm glad to see. I'm sure he got like a number of tweets from like parts of Marquette Twitter and then was just like, oh, Marquette Twitter at it again, bothering me in my mentions. Like is what everyone does anytime like someone tweets something wrong about Marquette and like three Marquette fans pointed out. It's just like it's just like, oh, Marquette Twitter, Marquette fans, they're so annoying. Yeah, it's true.
Forbid a basketball school's fan base actually knows basketball.
Yeah, or like sometimes, like shout out to that Big East Golden Eagle guy who ended up being the guy who got also dunked on by Cam Jones, like simultaneously. Like he usually bothers people on Marquette's behalf, but then also was dunked on by Cam Jones, which is just like a real banner night for that account. So shout out to him. The home run. Reverse home run, like reverse jinx home run. Yeah. Oh my God! Wait, hold on. Dan Reiner, shout out Dan Reiner at Doc Reiner, one of my old classmates, has just tweeted me that at Uncle Buck's, Justin Lewis has his own signature burger.
Oh my God!
It's called the Marquette's Justin Lewis's very own. There's the pronunciation, the punctuation on this menu is just out of control, but signature double double, two burger patties topped with cheese, lettuce, tomato, and pickles. And he's called in the picture, it says college great Justin Lewis.
Let's college go. Great.
College great. All right, we're closing it literally on that. Thank you, everybody. There's no better way to end a segment than that.
Animaniacs, good night,
out of the park. What, Ben?
I said Animaniacs, good night, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. We're just like, all right, everyone, we're done here. Then we hit it out of the park. Thank you, everyone. This was great. This was our best one ever. There was like a million people from every part of Marquette Twitter here. We greatly appreciate it. We got to yell at Jarrell McNeil about how cool he is, and all of that jazz. So thank you, everyone, for joining. We will do one of these after every big Marquette win, hopefully, maybe, probably, going forward. These are much more fun to do on road wins, which obviously few and far between, but maybe not anymore. Maybe there'll be more. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And we really, really appreciate it. And if you want to listen back to the madness, listen to the podcast, Anonymous Eagle Podcast on Apple Pods. Thank you so much.
Later, dudes.